appreciate the kind words of introduction. And I know every time we gather together to study the Bible and to read about what God expects of us, it is a very uplifting and encouraging time. But there's something about being at a lectureship where we get to be with brethren from all over the state, coming together as God would want in unity and lifting up our praise unto God. It's such an encouraging time, especially to see so many people out this morning to study this very important subject we have about immorality and what it does to the family. Before we start, I will say it's very, very different to be at a lectureship and to be on this side of the podium and to see all these faces of men that I've sat there and listened to since the time I was a little bitty boy. But it sure is an uplifting time for me. And I'm very thankful for this congregation for showing the confidence in me to lead us in this study. This morning we're going to talk about immorality versus the family. And we need to decide, why is it important to study immorality and its effects on the family? Well, I think the answer is fairly obvious, because God hates all forms of immorality. But especially when we leave the safety of this auditorium today, go back out there into the world, we're going to see that immorality is all over the place. Immorality is so prevalent everywhere we go. You can't drive down the highway without seeing billboards advertising various kinds of liquor, without seeing the Powerball ads and the lottery ads and things up on the signs, and you turn on your radio and it's there being broadcasted into your car. You get home, a place that should be the safest place spiritually besides being together with your fellow Christians, and immorality is even broadcasted there on the TVs, in magazines that we read, on the radio, on the internet. And so it's very important to study immorality and its effects on the family, because we need to be able to be on guard for it. Immorality, after all, is what the world wants. They are the ones who are promoting it. That is why it is everywhere you turn. Everywhere you look, you will see it. Well, Jesus says that this is how it would be in the book of John chapter 3. If you'll turn over there to John chapter 3, looking in verse 19 and 20. Here Jesus says in John chapter 3, starting in verse 19, he says, "This is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved." It's a very sad fact that Jesus states here. The world loves immorality. They don't want God's standard of right and wrong. And so when we are faced in a nation that is growing more and more immoral, and we see it's very important to study. This is what the world wants, but this is not what God wants. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, very familiar passage about how broad and wide the road is and broad and wide the gate is that leads to destruction. Immorality is easy. It's easy to find. It's what the world wants. And there are no rules against it as far as the devil's concerned. You can do anything you want on his pathway. This is why we must study immorality and its effects on the family. It just happens to be that the first moral instruction that a person ever receives is through the family. Those of you with children recognize this, surely. Children grow up. They're very young age, 1 or 2 years old. I've seen this in my own nephew back in Ohio. He hears something one time, and it might be 3 or 4 months down the road, and he says it. And it flabbergasts you. Where did you hear this? How do you remember that joke or remember that toy or something? Children soak these things in. And so in the family where morality is supposed to be taught, so many kids see the very first example of immorality through the example of mom and dad, and they soak it up like a sponge. If you have children that are being brought up with immoral standards, they're going to raise their children to be the same way. And the nation will fall further and further into immorality. I assemble there in Piedmont, one of the ladies that we worship with works in a daycare. And she says that some of the 2 and 3 year olds say some of the most horrible words you can imagine, because that's what they hear mom and dad say. It is so important to teach our children the basics of moral living. This is what God demands of us. And so we ask the question this morning, what is immorality? Well, if you look into your King James and American Standard Versions, the word immoral and immorality is not there. It's not a word that the translators translated. But its synonyms are found everywhere. Wicked, wickedness, corrupt, corruption. Words like this. What is immorality? Well, the Bible tells us through many passages exactly what it is. It is everything that is against what God stands for. About 11 years ago, I was in high school, and we had a brand new principal starting. And he came into the school, and he had the idea that he was going to help get rid of some of the bad influences that we see on T-shirts. T-shirts with bad messages, backpacks with bad labels on them, jeans that had different things. No more of that. And he said there in this assembly before the whole school, things of an immoral nature are not going to be allowed in the school anymore. And one of the high school kids piped up. I imagine he thought he was very brave. And he said, well, what is your definition of immoral and immorality? Well, friends, we don't have to come up with the definition of immoral and immorality because God has done it from us. And when we open up the Bible and read many different passages, for example, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 22 and following. We have a list of things that God expects of his children. And this is against everything that immorality stands for. Looking in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 22, we see these things written by the Apostle Peter. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Here we see that immorality is the exact opposite of purifying oneself. Immorality is the exact opposite of obeying the truth. Reading further, we see in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Immorality is the exact opposite of incorruption. It is corruptible. It is what everyone once was before they came to Christ, and what everyone still is if they have refused to come to him. Immorality is the opposite of the word of God here, which liveth and abideth forever. In order to combat immorality, families must understand and know and study the Bible. There's no way around it. If a family is not studying the Bible, a family is going to fall to immorality. That's the sad truth. Here we see in verse 25 that the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Here we see that immorality is the exact opposite of what the world wants in their lying and malice and guile and hypocrisies and evil speakings. These things which make a person very guilty are not found in God's code of morality. Morality, verse number 2, makes a person as innocent as a babe. Innocent in God's eyes as a newborn babe. We are to desire that moral code that God has given to us. Look over a few pages back in your Bible to James chapter 1, starting in verse number 21. Here we see the writer James telling us how to get rid of immorality. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have to decide when it comes to immorality to chop it right off and graft in the word of God, which is so able to save and to keep someone innocent in God's eyes. Chop off immorality and graft in the word. And not only just graft it in, but be someone who actively does the word, not just hears it. Here we see all these different ideas about what immorality is, the opposite of God's standard. Where does immorality come from? If you'll turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1, we will see the Apostle Paul writing here to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 1, and he sets forth many ideas as to where immorality comes from. And these are things we need to be on guard against so that we can know how to defeat it, know how to stop it from getting into the family. The writer, of course, is writing about the church at Rome. But we see so many of these things in our nation today. For example, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, Here the apostle says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Here we see that immorality comes by people who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want the truth to go out into the world. They don't want the truth to be seen, so they hold it down. This is one place where immorality comes from. Look at verse 21. Here's another place. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Here we see a people that recognized God for what he was, and they refused to acknowledge him for who he was. Realizing who God is and what God demands of us, and then to turn our backs on him, is absolutely where immorality comes from. Be on guard for these things. Verse number 25, "who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Here we see immorality comes from trading truth for lies. And this is the one that I think we can see most prominently in the United States today. Trading truth for lies. "Don't tell me about God in school. Don't have my children pray. Get that out. But instead, let's put in his place evolution and no moral code at all, or a whatever feels good, do it attitude. Take the truth that God has given and throw it out and trade in for a lie." And say that we all came from monkeys, for example, instead of acknowledging the creative power and the majesty of our God, whom the heavens declare his handiwork. Here we see where immorality comes from. Go with me to an Old Testament passage in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Reading here what the prophet says about people who trade the truth for lies. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call good evil, that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." God says, woe. Woe to those people who would rather take lies and put them in as truth. And unfortunately, we see this everywhere we look as far as the moral code of the family goes. Don't believe in what God has said. It is not good. But instead, believe the evil standard that the world sets up. We can't let this happen. We have to be on guard for this. Looking back in Romans chapter 1, verse number 28 is another very vivid example of where immorality comes from. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Here the Bible here says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Not only did they hold the truth in unrighteousness, not see God for who he was, trades God's truth for lies, but they refused to even have him in their knowledge. When it came to God and morality, they didn't want any of it. Don't give me that. That means I am responsible to something. That means there is a code I have to live by." They don't care to hear such things. And it's a sad commentary. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We see another area where immorality comes from. And this is very important for our study this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Here Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Where does immorality come from? It comes from lust. The lust that is inside every person will bring out immorality. If it's in mom and dad, it's going to be seen in the children as well. And if it's in the children, it will be in their children. Go back again to the book of James chapter 1, this time starting in verse number 14. And here the Bible says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust that brings corruption into the world, and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Friends, what we put into our family is going to come out if it's immoral, if it's full of lust. And the writer here says, don't be tricked by it. Don't err, my beloved brethren. This lust is going to bring forth sin, and that is going to bring forth death. This is why or where immorality comes from. Well, so we ask another question. Why is it important then to study immorality and its effects on the family? Well, I think the answer is obvious, but I have a few specific things I want to go over. Why is it dangerous to the family? First of all, to let immorality into the family is to reject commandments that God has given to parents to keep families pure. The prophet there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6, said, "Bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This isn't a suggestion given to us by God, but it is a command. Train a child in the way that he should go. Not just any way. The same book of Proverbs tells us that it is not man's way. It is not man's feelings. Jeremiah, again in chapter 10, says it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. Bring up a child in the way that God wants them to go. This is a command. Why is it dangerous to the family to reject the commands of God? Shows that we don't love God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible there says, "Parents, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord." It is a command. This is why we must teach our family to be good and moral people. Let's see how important God thought it was. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse number 6 and reading down through verse 9. This is what God thinks about proper moral instruction in the family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse number 6. Let's read together. Here the Bible records, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates." Here, the writer here is telling the children of Israel how serious God takes moral instruction in the family. Everywhere you go, when you're walking by the way, when you're sitting in the house, when you're going to bed, when you're rising up, consider the commandments that God has given. God takes it seriously. He wants children to be taught. He wants parents to remember the commands that God has given. Immorality is dangerous to the family. There's a sad fact recorded in the book of Judges, chapter 2. Look over at Judges, chapter 2, looking in verse 10. God gave them such a stern warning about teaching their children all the time, and they failed. Judges, chapter 2, and verse number 10. Here the Bible says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor the work which he had wrought for Israel." Here we see the failure of those parents to teach their children. That generation passed away, and the generation after them knew nothing about morals and nothing about the God who had delivered them from physical bondage. Our children must learn about the God who can deliver them from spiritual bondage. And it's up to us as parents. I'm going to be a parent here in January. It's up to me as a parent and Melanie as a parent to teach our children to be moral people. God takes it seriously. In the book of Psalm, the 78th Psalm, the writer there is talking about fathers teaching their children. For the sake of time, we won't read the entire passage, but Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8, we see the writer here talking about teaching the children. Fathers teach your children. I'll just paraphrase. Who will teach their children? Who will teach their children? Four generations mentioned in one passage. How important it is. If one generation doesn't teach their children, then the rest, they're without hope unless they find it on their own. This is not what God wants in His families. Immorality, it's dangerous to the family because once it takes root, it affects the entire family. Let's read the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 7 and see a sad account about the children of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 7. looking in verse number 16 and following. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse number 16. God is telling Jeremiah some bad news about the children of Israel because of what they had failed to do. Let's look and see just how important it is to keep immorality out of the family. It affects the entire family. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 16. Here the Bible says, "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry or prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." Here we see the danger of letting immorality into the family, because once it's there, it will affect the entire family. The children are gathering wood so that their fathers can make a fire, so that their mothers can make cakes to a foreign god. Jeremiah says, don't pray for them. They have let immorality destroy their family. And once immorality is in the family, it is so hard to get out. Look in Jeremiah again, this time chapter 44 and verse number 16. Again, in regard to the queen of heaven, Jeremiah chapter 44, starting in verse number 16. Again, God is speaking. He says, "As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Jehovah, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly perform every word that has gone forth out of our mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and princes in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil." Once immorality gets into a family, it is hard to get out. These people said, "Jeremiah, stop. We're not going to listen to you about God and His commandments anymore. We're going to do this because it was good enough for Mom and Dad, and it's good enough for us. And if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for our children." Immorality gets into the family, and it is so hard to remove. And so we see the importance of teaching moral behavior to our children, because without that, without the moral code in the family, the nation is going to fall. As the writer of Proverbs says, the nation that fears not God will certainly fall. Well, it is easy to talk about immorality in the way that we have so far this morning, but how do we apply these things to the family today? How do we make applications so that we can improve our own families? What kind of things are affecting today's family in the United States that is bringing immorality into God's sacred institution? Well, there are many things, and first and foremost, I believe, is the lack of training, not only on the parents' part, but on the children's part. Consider a typical school day. Child gets up and he goes to school, and he's there for probably 7 or 8 hours. And at school, he is surrounded by some of the most immoral people you can imagine. And he's surrounded by immoral classmates as well. And so he goes to school for 8 hours a day. He hears things in class that should not be taught. He hears things on the playground. She hears the other girls talking about this or that or the other thing. 8 hours a day, and then comes home. Well, the other 4 hours of the day, according to many studies, are spent watching television. Up to 12 hours a day of immorality being pumped into our children. And we think 1 hour on Sunday morning and 1 hour on Wednesday night is going to keep them from the devil's snare? By no means. Amen. We have to teach our children. Biblical instruction is not a part-time or a if-we-have-time thing. It must take precedence because of the amount of filth children see. Immodesty is horrible in this country. Society tells us to wear less and less and less clothing. There are many studies that I wrote about in the article in the book. According to Focus Adolescent Services, they say that sex is readily marketed to children in many ways, encouraging them to accept sexual immorality as normal. If you don't do the things the world does, you're weird. What do you mean abstinence? It's not what we do. For example, in 2003, 83% of the episodes of the top 20 viewed television programs by teenagers contained sexual content. 83%. Television blasting immorality right into the homes. The most popular television programs from children aged 2 to 11, this blew me away, are Survivor, American Idol, and Desperate Housewives. Proudly raise your hand if you watch Desperate Housewives. Why is no one raising? If you can't raise your hand here, you shouldn't be watching it anywhere, of course. What a filthy show. What about music? According to the same survey, 42% of the most popular songs in America contain sexual descriptions and sexual content. One out of every two songs on the radio on these popular stations are full of immorality. Television and radio blasting this stuff into us. How about MTV and VH1? Again, raise your hand if you like to watch music on these stations. According to these same sources, music videos contain 93 sexual situations every hour. Every hour. That's every 45 seconds we see these things. We see immorality broadcast as though it was normal. Immodesty, sexuality, as if it was something anyone can do. But friends, we know what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 says about sexual relations and how it is a beautiful thing when done right. God says, "A worthy woman, who can find? For her price is far above rubies." Sisters, your price is far above rubies. And it would be good to remember that, to get rid of this temptation to dress in such an immodest way. One of the most beautiful things that people have is probably gold. One of the most filthy animals to a Jew is probably a pig. God says, as a ring of gold in the snout of a pig, so is a fair woman without discretion. God takes this seriously. We are better people than this. Jehovah says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, there God says, "Jehovah seeth not as man sees, for man looketh on the inward, on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the inward." God wants us to be pure and holy, to be modest people. I'm running out of time, and I'm sorry I spent so much time on other things, but these things affect the family today. Television and radio and internet blast this into the house. Friends, I'm not one of those people who think we need to get rid of our televisions. But the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, your members on earth." If television and TV and radio and internet and magazines are bringing immorality into your household and affecting your family, put it to death and get rid of it. You don't need it. In conclusion, let's read together Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, for years I've been attending lectureships and I've laughed at the guys who got up there and said, "I can't believe my time is over already." And I would sigh and think, "You've been going on forever." Now I understand. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things and guard your family from the destruction of immorality. Thank you.